WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. A majority of Chicago alderpersons are backing an alternate budget plan to double residents' garbage collection fee to avoid a new corporate head tax. My colleague Mariah Wolfel reports the plan comes from 26 moderate and conservative alders, including Mayor Brandon Johnson's Finance Committee Chair Pat Dowell. It avoids a property tax hike and a head tax that would charge employers of 100 or more people $21 a month for each worker. Instead, these alders recommend doubling the city's garbage collection fee and raising the tax on alcohol. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is opposed.
The vast majority of the people in this city are struggling every single day just to make the ends meet. And we have alders that are playing games with those families. Give me something I can work with.
26 alders can pass a budget but cannot override a mayoral veto. And Johnson implied he would issue one. The Historical Preservation Society of the Illinois Chapter of the Black Panther Party is holding a candlelight vigil and dedication ceremony today. My colleague Nicole Janine Johnson reports that vigil honors the legacy of Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. The FBI assassinated Deputy Chair Fred Hampton and Peoria Defense Captain Mark Clark on December 4th in 1969 in an overnight raid. Layla Wills is the Preservation Society's executive director and says the ceremony reminds the public of the Black Panther Party's role in fighting for justice.
Both of them were very committed to the cause of the people. The Black Panther Party was the vanguard of the revolution, but it included all poor and working class people.
The event is on Chicago's West Side. It was planned for the second stop on the Black Panther Party Heritage Trail in Illinois, marking where the two men were killed. The Illinois Secretary of State has issued some warnings to national rental car companies about federal immigration agents. Secretary Alexi Giannulia says his office has received complaints that federal agents are switching rental cars' assigned license plates in an attempt to disguise cars.
Swapping Illinois license plates is illegal, period. And no one, including federal agents, is above the law. That's why we sent formal notices to national rental car companies, reminding them that if their vehicles are used this way, they will and can be held liable.
Giannulia says he has sent a cease and desist letter to the Department of Homeland Security. And the state of Illinois has a full slate of events planned to commemorate the United States' 250th birthday celebration. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker today kicked things off at the Ferris Wheel on Navy Pier. The Ferris Wheel was invented by an Illinoisan and plays prominently in the Illinois 250 logo. Pritzker says this is just one example of what the state has contributed to the history of this country.
From early Native American tribes to the Civil War to the Civil Rights Movement to today, Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan and Barack Obama and Ida B. Wells, the story of Illinois has always been the story of America.
Events in Illinois are planned from Chicago to Cairo next year with festivals, concerts, lectures, exhibits, and more. Pritzker says today's announcement was intentional. Illinois was admitted to the Union on this date in 1818. You're listening to The Rundown. Many people feared student attendance at Chicago public schools would plummet as federal immigration enforcement escalated in the fall. And a new analysis by WBEZ shows overall attendance in the fall is similar to last year. Chicago Public Schools has turned to the community to help it with the difficult task of getting children to school when so many parents feel vulnerable outside their homes. We have the story of one immigrant mother and how that help has made all the difference. Here's my colleague, Sarah Carr.
Maria has two little girls. One is about to turn two, and the other is a six-year-old who just started kindergarten. For the first few weeks of the school year, Maria's husband walked her older daughter to an Albany Park elementary school just blocks from her home. That came to an abrupt stop last month. Maria's husband was picked up by federal immigration agents as he made his way to work at a construction site. To protect Maria, we aren't using her real name or identifying the school her daughter attends. I had a very different life with my husband. He tried to give us what we needed, but my life took a huge 360 turn. Now that Maria is alone with the girls, she's terrified to leave the house. I'm the only person left for my daughters. At any moment, they could be left without their mother. I'm very afraid to go out on the street and face that every day. In the midst of her distress, there's a small light. Maria's little girl runs downstairs each morning to join what's called the walking school bus. It's the simplest of concepts. People, some parents, some not, help get their neighbor's children to school. Think of it as a big, well-coordinated carpool on foot. Here at this Northside school, the walking school bus really got underway after a mom was taken into custody by federal agents.
In the school community, people knew her. I have a mom snatched from a bus stop just a couple of blocks from the school is everyone's nightmare scenario. That day, the families were in panic.
Bridget Murphy's children go to the same school as Maria's. Their school is in a mostly working class area and is filled with the children of Latino and Asian immigrants. At 80%, it's got one of the highest proportions of students learning English in the district. The day after that detainment, dozens of parents kept their children home. It's a pattern that's played out across the city in neighborhoods most affected by immigration enforcement. Attendance has generally been comparable to last fall, but there are days it has plummeted, worse than below 0 degree days last year. Murphy says attendance rebounded as a walking school bus took off. Some 50 volunteers walk about 90 children to school every day.
The outpouring of neighbors and community support has really exceeded my wildest expectations.
But it's a lot to put on communities, especially ones also patrolling streets looking for enforcement activity. On the other side of the city, in Little Village, Baltazar Enriquez leaves his home and gets into his gray SUV. It's 7 a.m. on a cool Friday in early November. The day before, the U.S. Border Patrol chief, Greg Bovino, and his officers in their masks and flak jackets were in the area. And already Enriquez has gotten word that they might be coming back. His phone rings and buzzes nonstop.
Hey, good morning,
Baltazar. Hey, good morning.
Hey, just want to let you guys know they're moving through Burwood and Cicero's.
So most likely when they're done that way, they'll probably come out this way.
Seems like it, yeah.
Enriquez, the president of the Little Village Community Council, takes in the information. In this crowded neighborhood of mostly Mexican immigrants, federal immigration enforcement has become so constant that it's cast a pall that's become almost normal. A few blocks from his house, Enriquez pulls up to a brown brick apartment building.
Buenos días. Vengo a recoger la niña para la escuela.
Okay, ya un momento.
Okay.
A baby-faced 12-year-old in gray sweats comes down and slides into the back seat. She barely says a word as Enriquez winds down the side streets. Enriquez has a team of drivers picking up students and taking them to school. They keep getting new referrals. At first, there were 7 kids. Now there are 64.
We have the magic school bus where we pick up the kids. A lot of these parents have a lot of trust in us because I wouldn't trust my kid on a stranger, but this is the only option that they have.
When Enriquez pulls into the busy drop-off line at Cardenas Elementary School, he tells the girl the end of the day pickup plan.
So, pero ella lo recoge de aquel lado. Se llama Felicia.
The neighborhood around the school is bustling. School staff and neighbors in yellow vests keeping a watchful eye as children hurry down the street. Boys and girls playing in the concrete lot in front of the building. It's proof that the fear hasn't won. But it's still hard every day. Maria in Albany Park says her 6-year-old daughter cries at night for her dad, and wishes every day that he could still be the one to walk her to kindergarten. But she's happy she's still getting to go. Maria says her daughter tells her she wants to go play with her little friends. She wants to learn a lot. She doesn't want to miss a single day. She loves school very much. Sarah Karp, WBEZ News.
Weather, a little bit of snow today, cloudy and breezy, cold, a high in the low 30s, and then gradual clearing tonight, very cold with a low near 7 and the wind chill near 7 below. And tomorrow, Thursday, sunny and very frigid with a high in the upper teens. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thanks for listening.